الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى لن تنالوا البر حتى تنفقوا مما تحبون وما تنفقوا من شيء فإن الله به عليم صدق الله العظيم. Respected brothers and elders, the theme of life is taqwa. The goal is the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala and His favors. Bounties, Jannat, that's the goal. And the theme, something that we work towards, we aim towards, is taqwa. And in every moment of our lives, this command of taqwa has been emphasized. The child, as he comes up of age, the man that is married, the person that is old and nearing death, in every phase of the life, and this command has been repeated, taqwa, hold on to taqwa. Now, what is taqwa? We hear of taqwa, but what is taqwa? So the simple meaning of taqwa is take care, guard yourselves. You are left the house, so your parents will tell you, take care, guard yourself. If you are eating and you're not healthy, so they say take care. Right? Eat, everything is meant for you, but take care. You are driving, they say take care. So this is the very essence and the secret of life, that you take care. So the same mystery and the same secret applies to this life and to the next life, that are you taking care or aren't you taking care? Now, this taqwa comes at three levels. The first level of taqwa, that means the elementary level, the very beginning of taqwa. What is the very beginning of taqwa? That is the least requirement to enter into Jannat. So the elementary, the least requirement is to get the iman right, believe in the oneness of Allah Ta'ala, not commit shirk. In other words, to guard yourself against anything that will take you to shirk, to disbelief. Now sometimes these matters may be directly related to shirk and kufr, and sometimes it is indirectly related to shirk and kufr. We don't realize it. Indirectly, for example, it's a command of Allah Ta'ala. So we either say it verbally or we have it in our minds. I don't know why this command had to come. For example, it is a compulsory bath that we require, compulsory ghusl, after we have engaged in conjugal relationship, then there is a compulsory bath that is required. So someone begins to say, oh, why did this become compulsory? If it only could be legal, permissible, that we just move around. Or we see a kafir prospering and he is involved in interest, gambling, lottery, etc. And then we have regrets that I could have only been a non-believer, na'uzubillah, and I would have gained so much. So now, maybe it is not directly related to kufr, but it is indirectly taking you to the same end. The Muslim, for whatever he is, he must be happy with the decision of Allah Ta'ala, the decree of Allah Ta'ala. Whether it is tasteful or distasteful, but being the command of Allah Ta'ala, I like it. Maybe I didn't practice it, but that doesn't mean that I've got any reservation, any hesitation in my heart. It's the command of Allah Ta'ala. Now, in this day, and we see what's going on, so someone will say, no, because this person here was meeting people, therefore he's got the virus. Now, how do you know that this was the exact reason? Can you prove it? We know so many cases, man is living in isolation for 3 months, he got it. He died after that. So now how he came from? They said, no, this person here, because he came to the masjid, because he was meeting, so he caught the virus, and therefore he died. Now this is taking a shot in the dark, it's speculation. And unfortunately, professional people are talking like that, the same language. So for a moment you think, now, boy, is this person's iman right? He's reading the nafil namaz, reading Quran Sharif, etc. But is his iman right? So, that iman get it right. That what is the command of Allah Ta'ala, that is primary, that must rule my life. Some things may be tasteful, distasteful to me. Getting up may be a little bit difficult for me. But it is the right thing. From my heart, from my mind, verbally, physically, I enjoy, I'm happy about it. And one easy way to ensure that you die with iman is to see this, read this dua, Raditu billahi rabba, that I am happy with Allah Ta'ala for the decisions that He makes, for life, for death, for happiness, for grief, prosperity, and for constraints, etc. The decision of Allah Ta'ala, I am happy for you, Allah Ta'ala. It's your decision. Because you know what I don't know. You see what I don't see. You know what is today and what is a million years ahead of me, you know. I don't know, I can only see to my nose. I can't see even beyond that. Even what I see to my nose, I'm not seeing completely. I'm seeing it, but just from one perspective I'm seeing it, and I'm too boastful about what I know. And Allah knows everything. If you ask a scientist, someone to define water, say, what is it? CO2? Yeah? HOD. H2 or whatever. Beyond that, what are the properties, what else it is, what that HTO come from? Just to one point he can talk about, but the little that he's got, he's so proud about it. So, to believe that Allah Pak knows and I don't know. My knowledge, ma utitu min al-ilmi illa qalila, what you have been given is very little, minuscule in the ocean of knowledge of Allah Ta'ala. Not even a minuscule, so much. So little, right? So to believe in that. And al-mu'minu kullu amrin lahu khayr. So whatever Allah Pak decides for you is better, is best. But you can't see the good. So if you can't see the good, it doesn't mean that it is not good. It's I haven't discovered the good, but it doesn't have to be good for me. It is not a prerequisite that I must discover it for it to be good. You know, it was, I think, 1979 or 80 it was. So I'd gone for Hajj, first Hajj, alhamdulillah, with the grace of Allah Ta'ala. So some of the luggages of the women folk, my family, aunts, etc., had not yet arrived. So, 78, 79, I was not yet married. So they asked me to go and fetch it from the airport. So I went to Jeddah airport. And I showed them all what was required, all the documentation. And after some time, they surrendered all the luggages. When I just came off from the office, now I see one person from Spingo Beach. He's known as, we used to call him Ovi Chacha. Most of us may be knowing Mufti A.K. Hussein, right? But this man was his father-in-law. Right? But in the Spingo Masjid, there were about three or four that were pillars in the masjid. You know? Any time you find them there. One is this Chacha here. One is Juma Chacha. Namaz is there, Azan time is there, before Azan is there. And strangely, their ma'amul and routine was that from Asar to Maghrib, they're in the masjid, not moving out. The Juma Chacha used to be, without exaggeration, used to be reading about 10 to 12 siwaras daily. Doing a little bit of work, not that parwarta huta, nothing to do with reading Quran. Doing work also, but every day, 12 siwara, sometimes it's 10, 15 siwara. Now you won't find half is doing so much. What this old Chacha was doing, you won't find. And the strange thing with this old Juma chacha was, if there was a new hafiz coming to perform the Taraweeh, if he sees a Juma chacha, he would shake like this. But he's reading so much Quran as though it was on his tongue. You make a mistake, I'll find it. You make a mistake, I'll find it. Then we had one, we have still now, Allah will increase his life, we have one, Desai chacha. Right. So that is his routine. He's there a long time. Azan time is there. Any namaz from Azan is there, sometimes half an hour, three quarter hour, 1 hour. And his routine also is from Asr to Maghrib, he's in the masjid. This whole lockdown, it's about 7 or 8 months, he hasn't missed one namaz without the Takbir Ula. And without being there from the time of Azan. He's approximately 91 years of age. He'll put us to shame. Really, when I talk about it, I feel so ashamed. That he's there before the Azan, and he'll stay about 20 minutes after the Azan. His routine also is from Asr to Maghrib, he's in the masjid. In this whole period, only 2 days we saw that he had to leave the masjid. That was after Asr, had to go to toilet perhaps. And he came back about 15 minutes before the Maghrib Azan. That was the only 2 days. Otherwise, right through, he is there in the masjid. Right. So we're talking of this Ovi chacha, right? So this chacha, I saw him sprinting the floor there in the airport, one end to the other, going this side, that's it. Chacha, who take you? What happened now? Why are you parishan? We should give them a lot of respect because they were like pillars of the masjid. We liked their piety, we enjoyed it. Allah will give us more of that. See, the activity of the masjid is there must be someone there, sitting there, reading Quran Sharif, crying to Allah Ta'ala. Therefore, the hadith says, when you see a person frequenting the masjid, fashhad lahu bil iman, you must be a witness that he is a mu'min. Because you must be having a love for the masjid for you to frequent. You will frequent if you have a love for it. And if you don't have a liking for it, you find it so difficult. It'll be easier to stand on the pavement and talk, and difficult to come to the masjid. But when you have a love for Allah Ta'ala, then you must have a love for his home. You have a love for Allah Ta'ala, you must have a love for his home. And if you have a love for Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala will invite you. The very fact that you're coming for the second namaz, it is an indication that the first namaz has been accepted. Otherwise, if Allah Pak didn't like your presence, you think you would have been here. You wouldn't have been here. You are here because Allah Pak likes you. The previous namaz Allah Pak accepted, therefore he called you for the next namaz. Now this needs to be appreciated, understood and appreciated, that Allah Pak loves you. Therefore he is welcoming you. So anyway, I saw this chacha from one end to the other end, old, and he's printing the floor from one side to the other side. So out of respect I went, chacha, Muthi, what happened? So now I got a confirmed ticket to go to Pakistan, but they will not just take me on the flight. So I was still young now, 1979, 78, right? So like a clever thing, I said, no, maybe he's not talking to them in English properly, so I'll go and impress them with English, so I will get it right for him. So I took all his documentation, I went to the counter. When the Arab says mafi, it's mafi. Nothing, right? He won't move away. If he says something, he'll remain on his stance. He will never move away. Nothing. Now that we're getting pareshan for this old chacha, that he's there, he's old, he's got a confirmed ticket. Nothing illegal, everything is right. But they won't just put him onto the flight. Trying this one here, trying, nothing happened. Waiting still at the airport, trying to think, what can we do for this chacha? So, approximately under an hour, about 45, 50 minutes later, we hear the message coming through, that the Pakistani flight that was going over Riyadh, that it crashed and all the passengers had died. All, last passenger died. So, at that moment, the chacha was finding it difficult. We were finding it difficult. We think, why is such corruption? What are they doing here? No. But when the mystery had unraveled, we understood the wisdom of Allah Ta'ala. Allah didn't want to take him because he wanted him to have a continued life. So, Al-Mu'minu kullu amrin lahu khair. When a mu'min, you are loyal to Allah Ta'ala, you are good to Allah Ta'ala, so whatever happens, whether it's a loss, material, physical, emotional, whatever loss, it is good for you. Don't ever think that it is bad. No. Even the law, even the system of Allah Ta'ala, you feel happy for it. And that's why I say, we need to say this dua nowadays more than ever. Right? Raditu billahi rabba. Allah Ta'ala, you, me, my Rabb, you, my cherisher, nourisher, you are doing everything for me. I'm happy for your decision. Some things are difficult, right? You see a death or whatever, you find it difficult, we are human, so we'll go through that difficulty. But within our minds, we will definitely be convinced that the law of Allah Ta'ala is best, this happened, that was the better thing. Though we feel the pain for the grief, but as a mu'min, we will say that what Allah Pak has done, what He's chosen, that is the better thing, it couldn't have been better. You can't find a substitute for the law of Allah Ta'ala. Can't find it. Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islami deena. And Islam, I love Islam. I love Allah Ta'ala as my Rabb. Love Islam as my deen. I love it. So every injunction, every law, every command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I accept it, I embrace it, I will kiss it, everything of Islam. Not a single thing will I say, why is it like that? Why is 5-time namaz? And why is 4-rakat namaz? And why is it the 2 rakats you're reading it aloud and 2 rakats softly? Why are you doing it? Why? That is for Allah ta'ala, that is not your business. Your personal things, if anybody intrudes into your personal life, will you appreciate? So that's Allah Ta'ala's personal thing. Why must we interfere in that personal thing? That Allah will decide. He decided why it must happen, when it must happen, to who it must happen. That is His personal thing. Someone interferes into your personal life, you don't appreciate it. Right? You got a boy doing your garden, right? And he says to you, after a month, he's doing his work diligently, but 1 month after the work, he says, boss, you know, your daughter, I see she's covered completely, but I like to see her, how pretty she is. And just one day with her, you know. What do you say? Bye. Give him 2 kicks and chase him out. Won't you do that? What's wrong with you? That's your personal thing. Your personal thing, you got a pride about it. And you don't want to share it with anybody. So these are the things that are personal to Allah Ta'ala. And Allah Ta'ala doesn't have to disclose His secrets to anyone. What rights have you got and I got to go and interfere, to try and undermine it, to discover His secret? That is His. He knows why He did it. خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. He's created everything. He's created the heaven and the earth. He knows the secrets of the earth and the heaven. So He's designed the plan, so be happy for His plan. Don't ever say, why? Then we say, وَبِي مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ رَسُولًا وَنَبِيًّا. That I'm happy for Rasul to be my Rasul and my Nabi. He's my guide. He is my leader. He is my Nabi. He is my Rasul. I believe in Him and I'm happy with it. So this dua must be read as more than ever nowadays, right? Because the way people's minds are going off, right? Listening to this, listening to other things, and what we're supposed to be listening, we're not listening. What we're supposed to giving an ear, keeping a place in our hearts, that we're not doing. But what we're supposed to be rejected, that we're giving it a place in our hearts. So the whole thing is working in reverse. The whole world is working in reverse. Just an example, right? See the law of Allah, I say, there's no substitute, there's no replacement. Now, when we talk of the law of Allah, right? Now, there is a rogue, there's a thief, his theft has been proven. So the law in Islam is that his hand must be amputated. Up to the wrist, he must be amputated. Now, it goes into the Western media, they'll say, oh, barbaric, how can they do this, how can they do that, right? But I say again with conviction that the law of Allah Ta'ala, and there can be no substitute, no replacement for the law of Allah Ta'ala. Right. Now look today, look, retrospect, current, right? There may be just one country that is practicing this, right? They're practicing, alright, Makkah, Mukarramah. Maybe there is some traces of this. Right? And because there are some traces of this, right? You will see with your own eyes a jeweler, he's just put a parda or a sheet and he's covered his entrance. And the jeweler shop is not like ours. It's about 20 times more gold, silver, and diamond they got there, right? 20 times more. Right? But he's not bothered. He's just got a parda or something or a sheet just suspended before his shop. He's gone for Qailullah, 3 hours later he'll come back. And he's not scared for anything about it. I ask you, anybody in South Africa can do that. You see, the law of Allah Ta'ala, no replacement, no substitute. That's the law of Allah Ta'ala. A woman in Makkah Mukarramah, she can leave her flat or home at about 1 o'clock in the morning, go to wherever she wants, and return. No fear she's gone. Why? It's the law of Allah Ta'ala that they are applying. And because of the law of Allah Ta'ala, there's nothing. Now, minus the law of Allah Ta'ala, without the law of Allah Ta'ala, see what happens. See, substitute. You say barbaric, but show me a substitute. There's no substitute. Any part of the world, Western world, go and see what happens. There's so much of crime that every home needs a burglar guard, alarm system, right? You need a indoor TV, right? Then you need a satellite. Then you need a patrol, police patrol. And the police must come. And over the police station, you need to have a security. Security over security. You still don't feel secure. Then you must buy a gun, apply for a gun. And the minute you have a gun also, you're scared to use the gun. So many security systems with everything, but still you feel scared. Why? Because you had scrapped the law of Allah Ta'ala, saying that it is barbaric. Now you became a barbaric. That means now the criminal element will move freely, and the law-abiding have to live like prisoners. See, the whole thing is working in reverse. The ones that are innocent, law-abiding, they have to remain like criminals, and the criminals will have to walk freely. Now that was the punishment for you scrapping or sidelining the law of Allah Ta'ala. Now, it's the law of Allah Ta'ala, there's no replacement. See, understand that it's the law of Allah Ta'ala. Give it a place in your heart. See, this verse I've read, لَن تَنَعُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. So it'll translate that you cannot attain perfection. Kamil, what? Kamil khair. That's a perfect reward. You cannot acquire a perfect reward. Perfection. You want anything you want it excellent, right? You don't want anything less than excellent, right? You purchasing a Mercedes, you don't want a scratch there. A dent, are you happy to take it with a dent? You want it perfect. Whatever you can afford, you want it, and you want it to perfection. Small problems, you know, I don't want this. So Allah Pak also understands, He understands your temperament and your reasoning. You want perfection, right? So He says that you will not attain this perfection. You want a perfect reward. So how will you attain? Hatta tunfiqu mimma tuhibbun, until you spend of that which you love. So you want a perfect reward. Right. When you want a perfect reward, then pay the perfect price. What is the perfect price? That you give away what you love. One is, alright, I got some change, let's give it. Something extra, additional, let's give it. I don't say that is wrong. But that is not a token of love. A token of love is something else. What is too dear to me? I love it so much. And I'm giving it away in the name of Allah Ta'ala, just for His love. As a token, I'm giving it. Now that's perfection. You want a perfect reward. Kamil. Khair Kamil. You want a perfect reward. So you have to spend that which is perfect. Now this word bir is used several places in the Quran Sharif as well as the Hadith, right? Some places, لَيْسَ الْبِرَّ أَن تُوَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ قِبَلَ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ وَلَكِنَّ الْبِرَّ مَنْ آمَنَ. So Allah Ta'ala has encapsulated four departments of our lives. So you can't be just focusing on one department and say, no, I have attained perfection. So the first thing He talks about, again, Iman. وَلَكِنَّ الْبِرَّ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَالْمَلَائِكَةِ وَالْكِتَابِ وَالنَّبِيِّينَ. So get that right, get your Iman right. That nothing happens without the command of Allah Ta'ala. A small atom, a virus, nothing can move, nothing can affect you without the command of Allah Ta'ala. It's His command, it will affect you. Now we become so paranoid, someone becomes paranoid, someone goes into a depression, someone begins to accuse, you did it, you came, therefore it came. So where's the Iman gone by? I do not say that do not exercise precautionary measures. But then to become paranoid or to go into a depression and to begin to insult and accuse and distance yourself, right, it's got nothing to do with it. A virus was in the time of Rasulullah SAW and it is today. It's not that something recent. But did you ever hear Rasulullah SAW or the Sahaba Ikram distancing themselves? They were still joining the serfs. There was a thing like a virus. There was a thing like Juzami, right? Hadith talks about it. But did it ever happen that the Sahaba Ikram, Khulafa'i Rashidin, now today in this 15th century Islamic, now suddenly you got up, you say, no, you must distance yourself. you're going against Rasulullah, against the Khulafai Rashideen, against all the Aimma Mujtahideen, all the pious of the past, then where's the Islam then? Rasulullah is saying that Man wasala saffan wasalahu Allah, man qata'a saffan qata'ahu Allah. You join the surf, Allah Ta'ala will embrace you, He'll join you. And if you dare break the surf, He'll break you. So in the process of you joining the surf, for example, right, someone died. So what a good death, because Allah is saying, I'll embrace you. You had to go that moment, you went. You couldn't have avoided that moment, right? But you went when Allah Ta'ala embraced you. And say for example, you got saved, right? But when you went, you were breaking the surf. Then what's the good of going, living? When Allah Ta'ala has distanced you, then what's the good of life? Is there any good? Who you living for, who you working for, who you striving for, He has distanced you already. So is there any good, any essence, any maja in life? No maja in life. But He has distanced you. So these things here need to be understood in perspective. You take the precautionary measures, but don't overdo it. Remain within limits. When you overdo it, you bring problems for yourself, for the community, for everybody you bring problems. Now there's so many complaints that come from the Hurst people. So many cases they are finding nobody wants to help in the ghusl. One person, two persons are coming. Worse than that, at the time of the burial, they are pious people there, hafiz and all that. But nobody wants to lend a hand even to throw sand inside. Some cases they were just two persons, one man is 70 years of age, 60. They took about 4-5 hours to fill the grave. Now that can happen to you as well. Is this Islam? This is not Islam. That you stay pulling something, stretching something to the extremes. This is what one person, I don't know how many complaints I received in the madrasa, that this is what's happening. You got dear and near relatives, right? You pull these things to the extreme. So that relative is saying, it's alright, you can stand there at the entrance, at the gate, make salam and go. But is that Islam? Islam is saying, by shake hands, or gunas will get forgiven. Islam is saying, as an elderly person, kiss the person on his hand or something, right? Whichever you're showing love, embrace the person after you saw him, right? Now you are saying, no, not in according to Islam, must keep a distance. But the man is perfectly normal. In the day of Nabi Sallam, there was a virus, but they practiced, they embraced the person. They shook hands. It was a yatim, they passed their hands over the orphan. They didn't say, no, there's a virus, one person got, 2%, 5% got. So everybody must now be like a virus. Every person, it's not adding up. He's got it. So alright, most you could do is isolating. That also not right, right? But then because of this person having it, why must everybody else isolate themselves? Where's the rationale? Where's the reasoning? There's no reasoning behind this. Absolutely no reason. It's flawed. The reasoning is flawed. And more than ever I say, do you maintain the same standard in your home, wife? Tell me. Yeah? So that means the virus says, no, when you are very personal and intimate, so I'll keep away, because I keep parda from you. I make parda from you, the virus say that much. For your convenience, we will stay away. It's a law that is not making sense. In fact, I don't think even the government recognizes this law. They also not recognize it because the mango flights are going full, 170 passengers. Shoulder to shoulder they are sitting. So the government must do its homework before they can allow this thing to happen. So they must have done the homework. This is just a farce now because of some international pressure or something. They're doing whatever they have to do. But they know it's a farce. They're not practicing it. Otherwise they would have practiced. Why they don't practice it on the local flights? So that means it's a farce. We are becoming victims of this thing. Distancing ourselves, breaking the namaz, distancing ourselves from our families. What worse can you do? When you distance yourself from the families, so there's about four places in the Quran Sharif, Allah says, Ulaika alayhimul la'anat wa lahum su'ud-dar. My curse is on you. Ulaika alayhimul la'anat. You maintain the relationship, go meet, talk, if they are in need, if they need an errand, fulfill that errand. It's reached such proportions that you don't want to meet your own relative. See, now this is because we don't know our deen. I really mean it, we don't know our deen. See, in one hadith, Rasulullah has explained to Sahaba Kiram that Allah Pak likes three things for you. One is the Tawheed, oneness of Allah Ta'ala, don't make any shirk and believe in Rasulullah Pak. believe in Allah Ta'ala, oneness of Allah Ta'ala, believe in Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That's the first thing that he loves for you. The second thing he loves for you is to you hold to the Quran Sharif. And the third thing he loves for you is that you be united. And this distancing, is it in keeping with unity? You tell me, be fair to yourself, is it keeping? So Allah likes these three things, that you hold on to Iman, you hold on to the Quran Sharif, and you keep on to unity. And Allah Ta'ala disgusts three things for you. Three things he disgusts. One is qeel wa qaal, in futile discussions. People have locked themselves. When they lock themselves, they're listening to discussions over the radio, television, WhatsApp. See, and most of it is futile. Lots of it is speculation. A lot of it is still being debated. And most of it is beyond our understanding. Today someone will say something, tomorrow someone will counter it. Today someone will say something, tomorrow someone will counter it. In the meanwhile, we becoming victims of all this news, until we become like cabbages. So that is because we're not practicing the words of Rasulullah Baksam. He doesn't like this qeel and qaal. There's a discussion, futile, but I leave that out. I got time, let me make some Durood Sharif. Let me read some Quran Sharif. I spoke about the Duma Chacha, reading 15 Sibar every day. Do you think if he was engaging in all type of futile discussion, he would have achieved that? Enough all that, so he got blessed in this way. Allah allowed him to read his Kalam. One person I told in Marisburg, by sort of getting to futile news and idhar udhar ki baate, when you're coming to the masjid, going home, read Kalama, read Durood Sharif. So after about 5 years, I met him again. He said, you know, Mona, you told me that time. So it's not a day that I don't read, meaning serious, telling me, I don't read 1,000 kalimas, 1,000 durud. So how you manage it, you know? You know what you told me, just coming to the masjid, going to return. So any passenger with me, so I tell him, see, I'm not rude, I'm not impolite, but this is my routine, that I don't listen to news and nazams and all that, but I'll read Durood Sharif, I'll read kalima, and I'll make so much, my going and my coming. Now we say, now, hey, 1,000 times, how could you do it? Impossible. The 1,000 news you can listen to. But 1,000 Durood Sharif, 1,000 La ilaha illallah, what is meant for you, what you're supposed to be doing, that you're not doing. But you'll know now who's the Prime Minister of that London and Sonia. By Kabar mein pucha jayega. Will they ask you in the Kabar, what happened in Japan, if there was a bomb in Hiroshima, will they ask you about that? That, the general knowledge you must know. But what Allah Pak and His Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam want from you, that you don't want to know. Now in all this, what is the stance of Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in all this, right? We know about this scientist and that person, right? We don't know what is the history of that scientist. We don't know, right? He may be a gay, he may be a lesbian, or she may be a lesbian, yeah? They may be whatever else, right? Allah Pak knows. They may be a Satanist, they may be an atheist, right? And they are the ones that are pushing this whole agenda, right? This is one side, atheists, Satanists, all that, they are pushing one agenda. And one is the word of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. There can't be a flaw, because the word of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is Allah's word. In huwa illa wahyu yuha, is Allah's word. But did we try to take out the time to find out what is the stance of Allah Ta'ala and His Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in this case? Are we listening to it? Are we conscientizing ourselves, talking to our family? But someone talks about this, yeah, we know about Bill Gates, we know about this agenda, all that, right? But what you're supposed to be doing, what you're supposed to be knowing, do you know that? Do you know that? Rasulullah Basim is saying in no unclear terms, that when there's going to be indecency in this world, then this must happen. Bill Gates can't do anything, his grandfather can't do anything. Virus can't do anything, and virus Nana can't do anything. Nobody can do anything. The doer is Allah Ta'ala. But Allah Pak makes this happen when indecency becomes the order of the day. Now you may say, well, indecency, yeah. You know, many a time I address youth under 40, right? I speak to them. So I'll talk to them, I tell them, see, you don't have to feel embarrassed, but just for my understanding, I just want to know that any one of you can say that you got a phone and you didn't look at something that was indecent. So everybody remains silent. Everybody, you may say, deliberately or mistakenly, we've seen something, and our heart takes to it. Our heart definitely takes to it, in a day, sometimes one time, 2 days, two times, sometimes it happens. So this becomes an order in the day. And sometimes this happens right in the masjid. We're sitting right against the wall there, and he's watching. He's admiring these things, he's watching. There's fights in the families, right? Wife and husband. Maybe every day or every second day I receive a mail and the man is chatting with someone. Then the wife, she sees into his phone, she finds something. Now she says, there's no respect left in the marriage. He's cheating on me. How can I continue with this man here? But there's so many cases. Now, when there's so much of indecency, it became viral. So mustn't the sickness also become viral? This virus, mustn't it become viral? It becomes so, right? You're going to the bazaar, to the malls, there is some level of indecency. You're admiring something. But you're not supposed to admire. You look at things that you're not supposed to be looking at. But it's happening. You're going to a sports stadium, same thing is happening. You're listening to a woman's announcer, or she's giving the news or something. What's happening to the heart? Is there some taste in the heart or not? Do you ask yourself that there is some subtle taste for that person that is giving the news, feeling something? So all this will amount to indecency. Whether you're looking at a book, you're looking at some love story, you're looking at a woman, you're looking at a radio, you're looking at the WhatsApp, looking at women. One old man, 73 years of age, he told me himself, is not no person in between. He tells me directly. He tells me that I was looking at something and that thing just came. Naked girl's photo just came. He says now, without fail, maybe once in a day, when I'm in the state of sajda, this picture is coming clearly before me. Now this man, 73 years of age, he's complaining that what if my soul departs my body in that state? When I'm fantasizing with this woman here, in the state of sajda, one is, what is the status of my sajda? Number two is, if my soul has to depart in that condition, mera iman ka kya hoga? He was truthful to come and tell me this is what's going on with him, right? But how many people have that consciousness that I'm doing this thing here, professional, unprofessional, hafiz, no hafiz, learned, not learned? But how many people are doing it, and do they have the concern about it? As Nabi Sahib is saying, this is the direct link, this is the cause of this virus. He's saying it directly. But his words, Mubarak words, we are underplaying it. And the scientists and everybody else, like I say, someone maybe an atheist, maybe a gay, whatever he may be, but we're taking it so serious. Bhai, what's happened to your iman? What you're supposed to be taking just as a passenger, alright, what are those things now? That you're taking it serious. And what you're supposed to take serious, you're giving a backseat. What is the word of Allah Ta'ala? It can't go wrong. Allah Ta'ala will tolerate for some time. But when that thing comes, it strikes, one wave comes and another wave comes. And then what happens to you? It's like you see typical sometimes in the Dawat, you see that a man is taking coke properly, he's taking coke. They say coke, one glass, or 13 glasses, 13 teaspoons of sugar. He's eating chocolates and mitai, barfi, all that. And then when it comes to tea, he says, just add some saccharin, I'm a diabetic. So when you're supposed to take all that parezi and all that preventive measures, all that abstention and all that precaution you're supposed to be taking, you didn't do it. And this thing here now, like a clever thing, you must put saccharin in that. Is it making sense? Right? So the words of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we're not giving it the respect. We're not giving it that type of obedience, that respect, that loyalty, as though we believe in it. What has happened to the iman? So we're coming back to this topic, لَن تَنَعُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. And I just moved on, right? Sometimes it is that what I'm made to speak, that may be the need of the time. Sometimes I don't like this topic here, but it just comes in. When it comes in, that may be the need of the time, and therefore Allah makes it happen that this must be discussed, so that flaws and the creases in the iman may all get ironed out. There's creases in the iman, there's flaws in the iman. And we're talking about a lot of things, this philosophy and that, whatever else. But then the iman is not right. It's the same, saccharin and Coca-Cola. So you talk about all these things here, all this you're talking about, it's crap. Whoever Bill Gates, whatever it is, whatever the theory is, what the conspiracy is, whether it's a conspiracy or no conspiracy, right? If you know about it, then what? Ask yourself, from the morning till now, how much Quran Sharif you read? What you're supposed to be doing, how much you did? How much of Zikr we have read? How much of Durood Sharif you have read for the day? Ask yourselves. تو جو کرنے کا کام تھا تو اس کو چھوڑ دیا, اور جو نہ کرنے کا کام تھا it was not required that we are doing. And Nabi Sam is saying himself, I disgust this, I hate this thing here. That you call carry into this discussion. قيل وقال وكثرت السؤال, and to ask unnecessarily questions, etc. But you ask him. One person came to Mufti Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi. Now see, they'll come to that Mufti Sahib and they'll try and push him in the corner, you know. Put him in the corner. Somehow, see, I'm so witty that I can push the Mufti also into the corner. He can't, he doesn't have an answer to this. He says, a man was traveling with his brother-in-law, right? Some robber came and he chopped both necks, took the monies away. So the wife came in, and the wife says, you know what, she saw a buzruk, so she told the buzruk that this is what happened, that robber came and he chopped both the necks. So anyway, when she was crying, so the buzruk just fixed the head on through the body, made some dua, and they both came alive. But mistakenly what happened, the brother's neck, he put it onto the brother-in-law's, and the brother-in-law's neck, he put it onto the brother's. So this woman is crying. So what does she do now? So she's asking Mufti Sahib, now what does she do? Mufti Sahib said, bring both of them here, I'll chop the necks and put them right. So these people, they require that type of an answer. So they push the person in the corner, or jo karne ka kaam hai, karne ki baat hai, to karte nahi. What they're supposed to be asking, finding out, they're not finding out. And what is least going to be asked for you in the, on the day of Qiyamah? See that when you come to that end, when you come to the end, that's the point you need to see and think about. A Muslim is saying, لَوْلَا أَخَّرْتَنِي إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ قَرِيبٍ وَأَصَّدَّقَ وَأَكُمْ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. At that time you're saying, give me some moments, I'll do some charitable works, and I'll become a righteous person. Allah says, it's too late now. That moment has come, it can't be delayed. Well, let's end up, you know, this brother A.K. Hafiz, right, he passed away. But the amount of good news that is coming, you know, so much of charitable work he did. Here, there, today, we have to go for some imtihan town, right? So one Somalian brother came in. Just for our inspiration, I'm saying this, right? He's not related to me, but he was a friend, and just for our inspiration, I'm saying this. So this A.K. Hafiz, though he's an attorney, whatever else, and he's got businesses. So he says, you know what, this Somali brother is saying, you know, his whole flat here, all foreigners are living, and he announced to them, see, now this lock-in period, 2 months rental is all mafia. I don't know how many, 100, 200 people have been living there. All the rental is maf. This is just one person is staying. Number two, after that what he did, he brought trucks full of grocery and distributing to the flats. Now, yeh karne ki kaam, karne ki baat hai. This is the things to do. Just talking, idhar udhar, discussion, high profile discussion. But what do you get out of it? And now nobody knows about it. It was just between him and Allah Ta'ala. Today, when we come for examinations here, come for the supervision, that Somalian brother is saying, see, this person here, he's got his one leg amputated, right? The day he got his leg amputated, A.K. Hafiz says, you know what? You take a grocery hamper from me, and all the rental is maaf. There's scores of widows that were dependent on his rental. Say, all right, make them maaf. All scores of widows. Just giving, whether Muslim or non-Muslim, just giving. So if Allah gave him a heart to give as well. If he gave him a heart to give also. So these are the things where we need to score in. Now, what he spent, he'll have no regrets. Gave out millions and millions gave out. Now he may think he should have given even more. When he saw he sees the rewards just turning. He had to die. That accident became an excuse for him to live, right? But perhaps Allah wanted to give him the martaba of shahadat. So that's why I say, for a mu'min, there is no such a thing like, that's not good, it's good. Or we feel hurt for the brother, friendly person, we feel hurt for the person, right? But what has happened is the command of Allah Ta'ala, and it's better for him. Allah posted him to the martaba of shahadat. So what's greater than that? That before the first blood can drop onto the ground, and he's clean like a baby. He's meeting Allah Ta'ala absolutely clean. So is there anything for us to feel hurt about? Yes, we feel hurt, a good person, nice person, generous person, and he's left, right? We feel for that. But where he's gone to is far better than where he was. So a mu'min must think rightly. So we are talking about, you will never reach perfection. You won't reach perfection until you spend of that which you love. So it doesn't mean all the things that you love. Some of the things that you love most, then you give it. It's a token of love. Now look at the Sahaba Kiram, a few Sahaba Kiram's incidents. When the verse was revealed, what did they do? Abu Talha radiyallahu anhu, he says, Ya Rasulullah, I put a bagh, an orchard, right in the precincts of the masjid, right outside the masjid. On the southern end of the masjid, I've got a orchard. That's the most priceless commodity that I own. That is in the name of Allah Ta'ala. Nabi was excited, very happy, that this man is giving in the cause of Allah Ta'ala. Ra'ihatun. Ma'alun ra'ihatun. What a great bargain. What do you think you've scored? The most precious thing he'd given, if I... Abu Dahdas, he's a Sahabi as well. When he heard, Man dhal ladhi yuqridullah, right? So he comes to Rasulullah and he says, Ya Rasulullah, Allah Pak wants this from us. He says, yes. So well, I have got two orchards. Both orchards, Ya Rasulullah, take it. I have nothing else, take it away. Rasulullah had to tell him, bye, keep something for yourself and give something. He had to plead to him. See the level of yaqeen they had in the words of Rasulullah. Rasulullah had to make a single announcement and see that yaqeen. That he said it, it must happen. It must be. So when Nabi Sallallahu told him, alright, keep something and spend something. So alright, I've got two orchards, right? And the one that is much more better, producing the fruit that is producing is much more better, much superior. Because 600 date trees, right? That is for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi Sallallahu is so excited. Kam min isqin radihin. Wa darin fiyahin li abi dayahin abi dahdahin. So much of gardens and so much of palaces for Abu Dahda in the akhirat, in the akhir. So they had that yaqeen that these are the words of Rasulullah SAW and I must do it, I must give something, right? But what I love most, now I got a murk, right? And I got an old murk. So if I give that old murk in the path of Allah, it's good, alright, right? But the real test will come when I keep the old one and the new one I give it away. Because that, everybody loves that, right? Everybody loves that. That new work, you give that away. And keep this old one for another 3-4 years. Now that you'll say, really, this is something. Abu Talha, again we come back to his story. So he says to Rasulullah SAW, I give him this. Now Rabisam says to him, you know what? I feel that give it amongst your relatives. So his relatives, two people are very close to him. Right. One is Abu Ubay ibn Ka'b, and one is Hassan ibn Thabit. And they are related to him in the fifth generation. So both of them, min mayasiri sahaba, they were alright. They were alright, not average, not extremely wealthy, but you cannot say that they were poor. But he gave it to them. This one and that one is given to them. So he was materially alright, but he wanted perhaps that they become materially even more solid. So he gave it to his own relatives. So what is dearest to one, something as a token of love, to give it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that this was something that was dear to me, and just for the love of Allah ta'ala, just to stamp my love for Allah ta'ala, I'm giving something. Yesterday I was speaking about the same thing to the students of madrasa, young, 17, 18, 19. Obviously, you don't have mercs and all that. But what you could do is, see, you buy a pie from the tuck shop. You got a cold ring. You saw another student that is a little bit underprivileged. You like to have that pie. You like to have that pie, right? But you see the rich person is a little bit underprivileged. For that day, you see, Lapak, this pie here and this cold ring, I'll give it to him with respect. You can also start practicing it to your capacity, what you can manage, things that you like most, you know, dear to your heart. And you gave it to a poor person. Isn't that something great? So you won't attain, you want that perfect reward. Perfection, you want that excellent reward. Then give something as a token of love. Perfect, not something that is defective. You're going, you did the proposal, right? Now, before the marriage and all, then there is that engagement and all, right? And the engagement, then there is a bridal shower, right? All not supposed to be done. But I ask you, if you're infatuated with that girl, hey, I must get this girl, you know, she's got so many proposals and she shows some inclination towards me, right? So as a token of love, you'll give something that is all torn, broken down. What do you give? Huh? That diamond is all dented off. You'll give that? You'll give something that is immaculate. Won't you do it as a token of love? And I have to show that I really love this. I'm serious about this. So when you're serious about the love of Allah Ta'ala, then something as a token. Allah Ta'ala grant us all tawfiq. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala Rasulil Kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار صلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وآله وصحبه أجمعين.